May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one we worship this day, throughout this week, throughout the entire year, our King, our Savior, Jesus. Let's pray in His name as we consider the Word of God. We pray, Lord, give us ears to gladly hear and hearts to believe Your Word this night and always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 107. 107. Anyone have any idea why I'm mentioning the number 107 to begin tonight? Well, there are 107 words in the words of institution in the English. Didn't look it up in the Greek. 107 words in the words of institution. I think that's kind of neat. 100 plus 7, I like numbers, you know that. 100, great number of completion, fullness. You have 100 plus 7, God's number, perfection. Indeed, this meal, instituted by Christ this night, is a full meal, a complete meal, a perfect meal. 107 words. And above all, on Monday, Thursday, we think of the great gift Jesus gives us this night. What does Jesus leave as He's going to die? You know, it's like His last will and testament. I'm going to leave you something. What's He leave us? Himself. He leaves us Himself. We'd rather have Jesus than all the money and all the possessions of the whole world. They're not going to save us, but we have Jesus. We're saved. So He leaves us Himself in this supper. 107 words. I'm not going to talk about all 107 tonight. And I'm not going to talk about 57. And I'm not going to talk about 7. I'm going to talk about 1. As I did a little meditation and thought through what to preach on Monday, Thursday, this word kind of struck me. It always does, but I haven't preached on it yet. And that's the little word, often. It's a very important word in the words of institution. It's at the very end. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This is a meal we can have often. Not every once in a while, but often. We can eat often, drink often. There's plenty here. It's good for everybody. Come often. And we, of course, have it twice a week normally, typically. We can have it more than that if we want. Have it often. There's no law. It's God's mercy and grace. He invites us. We have it often. And I thought to myself, you know, in the Old Testament, they didn't get to eat all that often. I think the word often ties back to the Old Testament, where really the word for eating was the word seldom. Think about the Old Testament for a little bit. You know, it starts off well. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they get to eat often. That's how God wants it. God wants us to eat often, have good food, lots of food, fellowship, communion with Him. That's the way, life and have it to the full. That's the way God wants it. God makes Adam and Eve. He has a buffet of fruit and vegetables set before them. All the trees, all the vegetation, they can eat all they want, except, of course, the one tree. Eat often, Adam and Eve. That's how God wants it. But, of course, they sin. And when sin comes, hunger comes. And no longer does mankind get to eat often, they eat seldom. They're often starving and hungry. And you see that in the Old Testament. A few examples. You have Abraham. Blessed Abraham, called to the promised land, the father of the church. And Abraham gets to the promised land thinking, this is going to be a great land. God's going to give me this land. It's going to have all this abundance of food. And the promised land does have some pretty good food, milk and honey, figs, so forth. But soon after Abraham is there, what happens? There's a famine. Abraham must be thinking, why'd you call me, God, to have a famine? Nothing to eat? So he has to go to Egypt to get something to eat. He's hungry. Doesn't get to eat all that often. And you think a little later in the book of Genesis, Joseph, of course, the son of Jacob, is sold into slavery by his brothers, and he goes to Egypt. And then his brothers and their families and his dad actually have to come to Egypt. Why do they have to come to Egypt? There's another famine. In the promised land, there's nothing to eat. They're hungry. They're starving. So they got to go to Egypt to get something to eat. God is teaching His people repentance, humility, hunger. May they hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the Word of God, for the Messiah, for forgiveness. Teaching them to repent, to lean on Him. Then, of course, they get out of Egypt. We celebrate that Passover night. The 10 plagues, Passover, the Red Sea, and where do they end up? The desert. Do they have a lot to eat in the desert? 40 years of not having much to eat, a little bit of manna. And that's a blessing. That would save them. But it's not very good. You know what manna means. What is it? Some kind of cracker substance. That's all they had. Water of a rock. They were hungry. Starving. Let's go back to Egypt. Grumble. They complain. Not a lot to eat. Teaching them humility. May you hunger for me. They get back to the promised land, and again, there are times people are very hungry. Even the great King David is so hungry. One time, he has to go in and get the consecrated bread out of the house of God. He's so hungry. And I think of Elijah. Talk about a hungry prophet. Elijah. A famine in the land, again, because of all the idolaters, a famine in the land. And how's Elijah get fed? By ravens bringing him food. Then he has to go to the widow's house, and God has to do a miracle there to multiply food. There's no food. Everybody's hungry. They eat seldom, not often. And because of their idolatry, of course, Assyria attacks, Babylon attacks. They ravage the land. This blessed land of food and produce and abundance is ravaged, and there's nothing there hardly at all. And man and woman are very hungry. Very hungry. They eat seldom because of sin. God's preparing the heart for the Messiah. And everything changes now when you get to the New Testament. Everything changes when the living bread from heaven comes. If you eat of that bread, the living bread, Christ, you'll never be hungry again. You'll never be satisfied. The bread of life arrives. And right away, at Christmas time, when he arrives, what's he lying? He lies in a manger. The message couldn't be more clear. He's food. You've been hungry for all these years, people. Now the food is here. He lies in a manger, food for the sheep. He's born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. The bread of life is here. The food is here. The lamb is here. There's going to be abundance now. We're going to be able to eat again and be with God again. And all will be good again. And what is Jesus' first miracle? He turns water into what? Wine. A little bit of wine so everybody just gets a taste. Abundance of wine. Just gallons of wine. Drink and drink. Eat and eat and be merry. The Messiah is here. The bridegroom is here. Never go hungry again. He feeds 5,000. Few fish and loaves. Anybody hungry after that? They eat to their fill. 12 baskets left over to take to other people. He feeds 4,000. Anybody hungry after that? No one's hungry. Now we can eat often. Now we are satisfied and full because the Messiah is here. The bread of life has arrived. And all that comes through a great head, a great climax in the supper we celebrate tonight. When Jesus says, this ongoing meal for the church, take and eat, it's my body, and eat it often. Drink of it, all of you, and drink it often. Not seldom, often. The Passover, how often do they have it every year? One time a year. The greatest meal of the Old Testament, one time a year, the Passover. How'd you like it if I offered communion one time a year? Maybe the place would really be packed that one Sunday. Maybe you, hopefully you go somewhere else to church where they have it a little more often. But now we have it often. We have it often. Why? Well, two basic reasons. Because there's plenty of food. We can eat often because there's plenty here. There's plenty here. Is there enough forgiveness for everybody here? Or are you worried there won't be enough when you come? Folks in the back there, Keith, you worried there won't be forgiveness for you? You might be the last one communing. He shakes his head, no. Is there eternal life? Is there enough of that here? Is there enough of Jesus to go around? Is there enough of Jesus to go around here and everywhere else in the whole world where the church celebrates tonight? Is there enough of Jesus? Of course. When you eat of Jesus, you don't consume him where he's no longer here. He consumes you and makes you to be like him. That's what happens. And we'll see that in the resurrection. We eat of the crucified, risen body of Jesus. We eat of the crucified, risen body of our Savior. It doesn't look like it. Doesn't smell like it. Tastes like it. But it is here because he says so. And there's enough for everybody because he's God. He makes it happen. You eat of God. You drink of the righteous, saving blood of the Messiah. This righteous, perfect blood. You get a blood transfusion, if you will, in your mouth. Blood that will really give you eternal life, that will raise your body from the dead on the final day. The blood of the Son of God that conquered death. You drink of it. Is there not enough for everybody? He's God. This is the blood of God. There's plenty for all. You see, in the Old Testament, the food wasn't ready yet. This is another reason why they didn't eat a whole lot. The food just wasn't ready yet. The lamb had not come yet. The lamb had not been sacrificed yet. The bread had not come forth yet, however you want to look at it. It's sort of like when I was growing up, my mom would make ham on Easter. And, you know, when you smell ham out of the oven, a man can hardly bear it. It smells so good. And so as a little boy, I would go in and open the oven, get my knife out, Pat, and what would I do? Cut off a little sliver real quick and look around, pop it in my mouth. And what mom would catch me all the time, the feast isn't ready yet. Oh, go ahead and have your nibble. It's not ready yet. There's this little nibble. That's the Old Testament. The Old Testament's a little nibble of the grace of God, but it's enough, sufficient for everybody. Sufficient. The sacrifices, the Passover. It's good enough. A little nibble of the grace of God. But now the feast is ready. The lamb is out of the oven. The lamb was sacrificed Good Friday. Came out of the oven on Easter. Now he's on our table and the table of church everywhere. And you get to eat all you want. On Easter we had ham, and then we had ham on Easter Monday and Tuesday, and soup on Wednesday and Thursday, and ham all the time. It's like the ham never ran out. Well, this lamb never runs out. It's ready. It's prepared. And we also eat a lot. We eat often because it's good. Shouldn't have to say that. It's good. It's good for you. Anybody here need forgiveness? This is forgiveness. Anybody here want eternal life? This is the meal that gives eternal life. We have found the fountain of youth, Ponce de Leon. It's called communion. As we eat and drink of the body and blood of a risen Savior, we will live forever in paradise. You want that? Eat. It's good for you. Want to rise from the dead with a new glorious body? Eat of the risen body and blood of your Lord, you'll rise from the dead. He says so. As you come tonight, whenever you come, you know, don't doubt what's here. You know, it saddens me tonight on Monday, Thursday, when there's so many churches, if you will, that don't know what this is. They think it's mere bread and wine. Have it seldom. Doesn't mean a whole lot. Just obeying a command. Why would Jesus say, this is my body? This is my blood? To fake us out? Deceive us? Ah, it's really not me. Don't take my words too literally here. The God who said, let there be light, and made light. The God who made this universe and made you by the power of his word, that God can't put his son's body in blood and bread and wine? Oh, you have little faith. The God who made his son be conceived in a virgin's womb, he put the son of God in a virgin's womb. He can't put his son in bread and wine? Oh, you have little faith. The God who in love sacrificed his son for our sins, put him in a tomb. Yes, the Father put his son in a tomb because he loves us. That God can't put his son now in bread and wine. And the bread and wine, in a way, are kind of like a tomb, because as he enters us, he bursts out of the bread and wine and he gives us life. And then that life lives through us and we share with other people. Oh, you have little faith. This is my body. This is my blood. It's plenty of food. It's good food. So First Lutheran and all the confirmed, eat. Eat often. Drink often. Eat, drink often, and be merry. Amen. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.